Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 3rd, 94th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is another cop guy, but you've not heard this one before, have they? Say no.
No.
Yeah, okay, good, good, good. He needs a little bit more training. We'll work on it, though. Mr. Yeager was supposed to be here along with Mr. Harvey. However, Mr. Yeager decided to take a left-hand turn and go home.
Right.
Instead of work today.
Right, right. Yeah. I think it was a setup. But
hiding behind his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your phone will let us know if he's listening in about 2 minutes. Joining us this afternoon is a PIO for the Garberville.
Yes.
Command Center.
Yes.
Matt Harvey. Good afternoon, guy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, well, time will tell now, won't it?
We will see.
We will talk a little bit about some of the things going on in Southern Humboldt this afternoon. Well, this afternoon we'll talk about some of the things going on in Southern Humboldt. Whether or not it's the same as what we hear about from the guys out of Arcata in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
How different is it from Southern Humboldt and some of the different challenges that are out there, like landslides?
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about some of the different changes that are going on and some of the things that are going on that are in common also when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find a fun cop quote. Ah, here we go. Traffic enforcement quote.
All right, let's hear it.
It's an English proverb. There are plenty of more fish in the sea.
Absolutely.
How do you guys try to figure out how to work with the community? I'm not being totally facetious.
Right.
The community is so dynamic in Southern Humboldt, Northern
yes.
Mendocino.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, for whatever reason,
yep.
choose to be independent
yep.
and not want to necessarily be one of the gang, one of the buds,
mm-hmm.
because they do want to have that true independent streak. Does that hinder you guys kind of getting to know the neighborhood?
It's, you know, lately it's been kind of a grassroots effort. We've been trying to get out into the local schools a little more. We've been putting on more classes. I just had a Start Smart class for 14 through 19 year olds for basically first time drivers. So through that we get an opportunity to connect with the parents, and of course the parents are the ones that are out there on the roads that are driving around. Doing radio shows have been great for us lately, and allowing callers to call in and ask their questions, whether they're frustrated or happy with us or indifferent, just have a question. So we're doing a lot of that lately, and it feels like the avenues of communication have been opened up more, and I think that that's what they want. I think that they may never fully agree with the way government runs. They may never fully agree with the way law enforcement is conducted, but at least they can ask the question and we can give them an answer. And if they're not happy with it, at least they had an opportunity to ask that question. So we're trying to get out there and just talk with the community and do some things that are other than enforcement related. And I think that's where it starts.
Is this a push from the state to get the patrol to be seen as guys and gals? Is this?
I don't know that it ever has not been that. I think every community is different. And I think Southern Humboldt is unique in a sense that a lot of people live there. A lot of people have grown up there, lived there for 40, 50 years. Some people move out there because they want to be a little bit away from the hub of what's going on. And so, it's a unique situation out there, but I think we're working through it, and I think we're seeing positive results, and we're seeing a little bit of a little more community support out there for us.
The ranching community versus the ag community, certainly
yes.
two different. I wouldn't say polar extremes, but
yeah.
we're getting kind of close to
yeah.
either pole on that
sure,
one.
Sure, sure.
Are you able to intermingle with both? I mean, historically,
yeah.
You know, everybody kind of knows the historical.
Right.
Are they? Is there more common ground between the two than difference?
Between each other, or between them and law enforcement.
The troika, all three of you.
You know, I don't know. I don't know that we know who's, you know, because of the unique industry out there that most of us know about and is about 25% or so of our economy. People, you know, they might say they're a rancher. Well, that could mean many things. So it's hard to kind of differentiate who really actually does what out there.
But if a guy's running cattle.
Yes.
And he's hauling a cattle truck, it's pretty easy to see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just was thinking, you know, with Bryceland and Alder Point and some of those more rural, really rural areas.
Right.
I know you guys don't do a lot of patrolling out in those areas because it's not your jurisdiction.
Right.
However, you are responding out there.
Yes.
And getting to know the lay of the land. Is that something that you have the time to be able to do? Or is it just purely as a backup role behind the sheriff department?
It tends to be more when we're going back in the back roads out in the Honeydew area and Atoll Road and things like that, Alder Point Road. Oftentimes we're going out there responding to a call. It could be a call of a collision or somebody broken down or any number of things. It could be rolling tobacco at the sheriff department. That's more often than not what we're going out there for. We try to get officers out there as much as possible because we know there's concerns out there that people have. And usually what it comes down to is they want more law enforcement presence. Well, unfortunately, we have such a big area and only so many resources. We can only be in so many places at one time.
And it probably doesn't matter if it's black and white or green and white.
Exactly. That's absolutely. A lot of them don't even know who's out there. They just know, you know, is a man with a badge or lack thereof. So,
or uniform even.
Exactly. Right. Absolutely. So.
KINS, News and Information Times 422. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey from the CHP out of the Garberville office. Matt, how would you describe Shelter Cove for the folks in the listening area who have never been out to Shelter Cove?
First off, Shelter Cove is a beautiful area. If you've never been out there, it's well worth going out. If you want to just take a day drive, you kind of go through some woods, you go up and over the Kings Range, and then you kind of drop down into some switchbacks, and it just completely opens up. It's gorgeous. There's a good fish and chips place out there.
that would be the essential.
Right, yeah absolutely. Okay. Got to stop there for sure. But it's a beautiful area and, you know, some really nice coastline. There's a really nice airstrip. There's a nice golf course out there. So they have some very nice features. But it's also very removed. And so, you know, there's basically, you know, for the most part, one way in and one way out. So,
which I would think would make it easier for you guys if you're responding to a call or if you're chasing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not a lot of places to hide. Theoretically.
Yeah, right.
But the road, there's a lot of times during the year I don't know if I would feel comfortable just driving.
Right.
Let alone driving with purpose.
Right. It's a very unforgiving road. Lots of turns and hills and, you know, real tight, you know, hairpin turns and blind corners and things like that. And so, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be real careful.
Kind of like the old 299.
Right.
And some areas on 36, too. I mean, the same general stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
How often will the CHP provide law enforcement duties out towards Shelter Cove?
We go out there, I'd say, feels like a few times a week at the very least. And oftentimes what it is, we're going out, we're responding to a collision that was out there or a report of a collision, or we might be responding to back the sheriff department, things like that.
And but most of it's still traffic related.
Yes, yeah. For the CHP, we will respond to anything that's directly traffic related. That's our responsibility. But, anything that's law enforcement related, oftentimes we end up going anyway because there's only so many of us out there. And so, if you have one sheriff unit going out there to a domestic violence situation, we're absolutely going to be there to back them up. So, it's a beautiful area, and there's a lot of good folks out there, a lot of nice retirement community and things like that too. So,
when you look at the police logs or the activity logs for Garberville, mm-hmm. and contrast them to Ukiah, Arcata,
right?
Significant differences. Or are they pretty much the same?
I'd say we're less busy on paper, on what you would see on the logs. We're less busy. We don't, for the most part, get as many calls. Just as I was driving over here today, you got a hit and run going on in one part of the outskirts of Eureka. That's kind of, technically it's county, so the CHP is responsible for that. And you got something going else on the other side, maybe up towards Arcata. And there's times where we have several things going on at one time, definitely in the Garberville area. But we're a little slower of an office as far as what kind of calls we get. But in my opinion, a little more unique as well. Just the type of responses we get out there. The call could come in, one way, and we get out there and find it to be a totally different situation. So
just because it is that fluid. Things change that quickly? Or?
Well, oftentimes the call comes in wrong, or basically somebody's reporting on what they've seen. One example is last year, it was sometime early last year, we got a call of what we thought was a traffic collision, and it ended up being a shooting where somebody was basically trying to carjack this guy, and he ended up popping off some rounds. So we think we're coming out to a crash. And we get out there, and we got to be ready for anything.
Lo and behold, you're now cops.
Absolutely.
Yeah, instead of traffic.
That's right. So,
the location of the office is kind of unique. Is there a story behind that, or is it just happened to occur?
It used to be we had an office that was actually almost right downtown Redway, and way before my time being there, they moved it down the street just a little bit. So we're just on the south side of Redway. Officially, we're called the Garberville office. I don't know how, we're actually, our physical address is in Redway. But if you've been down there enough, you can see that Redway and Garberville are virtually one, one town connected by Redwood Drive. So,
one attitude.
That's right. Yeah.
Go Cubs.
Right.
KINS, not Chicago Cubs, South Fork Cubs. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey from the Garberville Station of the California Highway Patrol. Matt, as you are considering different opportunities with the CHP or young people considering the CHP. Mm-hmm. Is being a cop being a cop being a cop, or is CHP, is there a distinction between that and the sheriff's department, or between a municipal police department or a federal law mm-hmm. enforcement agent?
Well, we all go through the same post-certified academy, and so there's going to be certain requirements that we all have to meet. So as far as that goes, we all have similar training on a basic level. There are quite a few differences though with the CHP. When I went to the academy, I became an employee of the CHP the first day I started at the academy as a cadet. Versus, you know, the CR Academy, I've known several people who've gone through there and I've heard good things about it. But it's, you know, they're a student. And so they haven't yet taken on a job. So for us, you know, the selection process is quite a lengthy process, and they try to filter through those that they don't feel like would make it through the academy or meet the criteria. So that by the time somebody starts as a cadet with a CHP, you've already jumped through all kinds of hoops and background investigation, everything. And so then when you go from being a cadet to an officer, they'd see it more as a promotion like that.
Is there a profile that best works for a patrolman or patrolwoman?
Maybe from somebody who's from the outside, they would feel like, you know, maybe type A personality, somebody who's very militant, you know, things like that. There might be a certain
militant or military?
Both, I guess. But, you know, maybe prior military. And we have plenty of that. But me, from being on the inside, we have all kinds of personalities. And that's what we need. You know, if we were an agency of all the same personality, it's not going to go over very well. Just like in a marriage, you know, you need to balance each other out. Well, we need that in our department as well. And there's so many different opportunities within the CHP. You could work road patrol. You could work the governor's protective detail. You could fly a plane, a helicopter, work the Capitol. I mean, there's, you know, a number of things that you can do, and each one is going to require a little bit different skill set and a little bit different personality. So,
do you get the chance to select what you want to be?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think everybody for the first year coming in, generally to our department, is gonna work the road. They're going to be a road officer, whether they get assigned to L.A., Garberville, anywhere in the state, really. And then at that point, your opportunities open up. You can start looking at, you know, what interests you. Do you want to get more into vehicle theft? Maybe you want to do, you know, public information type things. You know, so anything that you could think of that's related to law enforcement, we most likely have some division of that within our department.
I find it interesting that, and maybe there is, a long list of people wanting to either work protection for the governor
mm-hmm.
or around the state capitol.
Right.
The intrigue associated with that, the dynamics with that, rather than running on the roads.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, granted, you have to live in Sacramento, so that's probably a kicker for a whole bunch of people.
Yep.
But I would think that kind of stuff would be luring to people.
It is. I think it's an interesting job. You get to kind of be around government a little more, and I think maybe one of the intriguing things about it might be for somebody that you get to interact with the public on a positive level. You know, you're not out there just, you know, writing tickets. And of course, when you get a ticket, nobody wants to get a ticket, and you know, you're never happy to see law enforcement at that point in time. But you know, when you're working the Capitol and things like that, you get more opportunities to have a positive, you know, interaction with the community. So
how do you keep your skill set, I guess, is the simplest way? Do you have to go back to the academy periodically? Do you have to retrain, retool?
We have training on a regular basis. There's certain core tasks, I guess you could say, that we are going to be training those same tasks throughout the course of our career. You know, basic things that we need on the road, you know, driving techniques, arrest techniques, you know, firearms, different things that we're constantly training on that you may go through your whole career and never have to use. And so with that, if we don't train with some of these things on a regular basis, we're going to get rusty in that area. And of course, we don't want that. So yeah, we train constantly. Every morning we have a little bit of training as well before we go out on the road. And so we try to keep our officers updated as to, you know, new laws and, you know, if new techniques, things like that. So
the rural nature of the Garberville district, mm-hmm. Are you trained at all, like fire or medical or some of these things that probably in a much more populated area, you're going to have right. paramedics running behind you, or you're going to have the fire guys or CDF or Cal Fire right. rolling, and you don't have those concerns. Do you have to come up to speed with that hazmat and some of those other areas that are, they're kind of law enforcement-y, but it's certainly fringe from most perspectives?
Yeah, we all receive hazmat training. We all receive emergency medical responder training on a regular basis. We're all certified in CPR and basic medical, first aid techniques. We carry an EMT bag inside each of the vehicle, and we have things that we can and will use. And you're absolutely right. In a rural area like this, it's much more likely that if, you know, for example, I'm out in the Alder Point area and there's a call of, an accident with some kind of injuries, it's very well that I could be the first one on scene, and I could be there for 20 minutes before anybody with any more medical experience than me is there. And that's a reality, and it does happen.
So do you guys train to some of the medical and the health related areas more extensively because of the rural post?
I don't know that I could say more extensively, because I think statewide we're pretty good at that. I don't think there's any lack of medical training for what we do anywhere in the state, and so we get really good training. But I think we're just a little more aware of the realities of what we're going to respond, you know, what we're going to come up on, what we could find, and, you know, what we're potentially going to need to do before, you know, a fire department shows up or the, you know, ambulance, things like that. So
not only do you train, you actually use.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Versus those city slickers in Arcata, say.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't say that, but.
It's okay. You agreed to it. That's all right. KINS, News and Information Times, 442. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Matt Harvey from the California Highway Patrol. Matt, this weekend we had a little bit of rain, mm-hmm. had a little bit of wind, had a little bit of excitement. What was your impression of the activities, the landslides, the challenges that were out there? Did the community do a good job in reacting to it? Did the area hold up pretty well?
Yeah, I would say so. We did have a share of slides over the weekend. I believe it was Saturday, little north of Leggett. We had a slide blocking both lanes of traffic for about 5 hours. And, nothing worse when you're trying to get to the Bay Area or wherever and you have to get diverted and turn around. And what do? You know, so... we realize that. We realize it's important for folks to get to where they need to go. And I think we've seen a lot of just patience, you know, and people know living up here that that's a reality. You know, we basically have two arteries coming in and out of Humboldt County. And the 101, you know, is one of them. And so, so people were patient with that. And that was shut down for about 5 hours. That was the only slide we had that I know of that blocked the entire roadway. We did have a tree that fell right around Red Crest that blocked the full northbound side of the roadway. And talking a very large redwood tree. And so it took a while to get that removed. We were able to get that out of the roadway, get traffic going. And so, you know, we did see the results of the rain. We're hopefully that's behind us. You know, I think we're coming back into a wet time here. But hopefully everything slid that's going to slide. So.
Do folks driving on the highway appreciate, I guess, debris, for lack of a better term, the branches, the trees. Do we do a good job of paying attention to our surroundings?
I think for the most part, yes. What I see in Southern Humboldt in particular is we're kind of between, you know, Eureka and, you know, the next big city like Santa Rosa. And so we get a lot of commuters. And, you know, if you're coming, especially coming northbound, coming from, say, San Francisco, you've been on the road for about 3 hours and all the road looks the same. You just want to get home and you're getting tired and you're not paying attention. And that's where we see the problems come in with people not paying attention, forgetting that it's a, you know, high concentration of deer, branches, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so we see some collisions come out of that. So
will you folks, I know it's supposed to be protection and enforcement, but if you see, let's say, somebody who's showing signs of that they've been driving for a long period of time.
Fatigue.
Yeah, will you pull them over? Sounds a little too over the top, but get their attention and just say, hey, want to take a break?
Yeah.
And I mean, just those little types of things. So it's not a ticket situation. It's not an enforcement situation. It's more of we're seeing something that is concerning for your safety.
Yeah, I mean, as far as being able to legally stop somebody and using our you know, if you want to say authority to be able to stop somebody, I can't just stop somebody because I just want to talk to them. You know, I've got to have, you know, reasonable suspicion or probable cause to be able to make a stop on a vehicle. But if there is some kind of safety hazard that I see, immediate safety hazard or suspect DUI, because sometimes we don't know if they're under the influence of something or just tired. And so we can make a stop based on that to check on possible signs of DUI. And if we find that they're tired, we can, you know, hey, why don't you pull over and just take a nap? And,
you know,
and usually when we pull them over, that wakes them up enough right there. So
amazing how that happens. Thanks for coming by, Matt.
Okay, you're very, very welcome.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.